way. So we'll just find your place, take a moment of silent prayer. If there's anything that's standing in the way between you and the throne of the grace, now is the time that you can confess those sins. 1 John 1:9 tells us that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if there's anything that you have in your own heart or your own soul right now that needs addressed, if you came here this morning expecting to hear God speak to you, to be able to learn, to be able to be encouraged, to be able to build up, to learn to walk in a manner worthy of his calling, we need to make sure that we allow the Spirit of God that's in us to be able to do his job. And with that, we have to make sure that we're in fellowship, we call it. There's no sin standing in the way between us and God, so we can just take a moment of silent prayer to just examine the state of your soul. And we'll start. Father, we just come before you with thankful hearts this morning that we're able to gather together in a building that is comfortable, that is unchallenged from people telling us that we can't do this, that we can meet together and just be encouraged. We can see smiling faces. We can talk with one another, communicate, and just do what humans are supposed to do for one another and just build each other up instead of in just a hostile environment that the world puts us in of tearing people down and being around opposition and just evil all the time. So we just thank you from the break from that we know that you say that this world is just an evil place, and we're in the midst of that all the time. So we thank you for giving us rest this morning, that we can come take a break and get out of that and be encouraged by one another. We pray that we can truly put whatever it is that's a burden to us, just a struggle, an issue, a problem that's not resolved, whatever it may be, whether it's health, financial, relationships, whatever's just burdening in us right now, that we can just set those at your feet as you ask us to, that we can understand that you have the power to be able to fix things, to take those things and do with them as you see fit. So we just pray that you intervene in our lives where necessary and just be able to get us to trust you, to see that you can do far greater things with those problems than we can ever dream of. So we just pray this morning that you allow us to see your word as you've left it and intended it for us, for just that building up and edification and that truth. We pray that we can just see it with your eyes, that we invite you in this morning, that we know that your spirit is alive and powerful, and that's what it's going to take to be able to overcome the evil that's in this world. We got to be able to walk through here with your power and your purpose and in your strength and in your might. Otherwise, we'll just fall and succumb to the enemy. So we just pray that you help us to be lifted up, help us to trust you and lean on you in all of your ways and all of your understandings and not ours. We do pray for our little ones downstairs, that as they continue just to build on that foundation of truth, that you can continue just to give them the pieces necessary to see you, to know you. We just look forward to the day of their salvation, to when they get to personally accept you as their Savior. We look forward to that in their lives, that you can continue just to show them that that's necessary and that's real. So we just we want to just lift up our country as we are getting into the time of the election, that you may allow us just to just be able to see your principles, your standards, and your morals, the things that you've left for us as guides and purposes, that we don't waver from those truths, that we understand those truths, that we see them firmly, and that we can just pray that this country goes in a direction off those principles, standards, and values. So we just pray for our nation, as divided as it is, that we don't look for either a Republican or a Democratic candidate, but that we just look towards you. You are the governor of all life. So that is where our attention needs to be, and that's where our attention needs to focus, and you'll allow the rest to play out as you see fit. So we just pray that we don't get distracted in this time, that we know Satan loves to divide, and that's what elections and opinions so often do. So allow us just to stay focused on you and walk the line of truth. We just then again just pray for this morning that you join us, that you take your words, that you allow me just to be used as your vessel, that you proclaim whatever it is that you need everybody, including myself, to hear this morning, and just as we do as you see fit. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so if you just want to follow along, we'll pick up chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. For you have heard of my former manner of life, so this is Paul speaking, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries and among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Okay, so this is one that we kind of read and like, all right, what are we going to get to be able to talk about that this morning? And the biggest thing that this whole context of how Paul is, and we talked a little bit about it last week, was his change. And when you have heard of my former manner of life, that is something that we can look at. Sometimes that gets overlooked with Paul's ministry is how influential he was, regardless of how ugly his past was. And that's all of us in our life. That's me included. There's things in my life, my former life, that I shouldn't be standing here preaching, speaking the word of God. Him allowing me to do that is far beyond any comprehension that I have. And all of our lives have things that were former lifestyles that that the enemy will use to trip us up and to take us and allow us to not move forward because we're so stuck on the former things of life. So Paul takes his example of what his lifestyle was of persecuting, which we talked about last week, and murdering Christians that were following the way, which was the way of the Jesus of Nazareth, and saying if you did not commit to the lifestyle of and the law of Judaism, then you weren't really a Christian. And if that wasn't the law that you were following, if you were taking the law and disregarding it, Paul would come out for Judaism and he would murder and persecute and destroy the church who would teach against those things. So here you have a man whose lifestyle was very evil. It was disruptive. It was harmful, not against just people, but also to God himself. So for us, when we look at the things that our past has involved in them, we were hostile to people around us, we were hostile to ourselves, and we were obviously hostile to the truths and the values and the principles of God. But here we have a great example of Paul saying, guess what? We all know we can sit here and we can see the completed works of Paul, that we know that those things didn't hinder the ministry of Paul. Maybe mentally in his own thing that he did, but what God did, or what Paul did for God through his entire ministry, he wasn't dwelling on his past. His past was his past, it was done and gone, which is encouraging as we go forth through this and just have that context of Paul throughout the entire scriptures, not just the book of Galatians, but Paul's life in itself of saying, look at what can happen to somebody once they've made that change. Once Jesus has changed that person, once he's become real in their life, look at the difference that can make. So you and I have no excuse. As far as I know, there's probably not any of us that have went around persecuting and killing Christians and destroying the church of God. So there's whatever that is in the eyes of God, you'd say that's pretty harmful if God says that we're going to disrupt his things. But we all have issues, but this is a pretty good comparison to say that God still will choose to use somebody that can have a past of evil and wickedness. So it's encouraging to me when I read this, that's to be able to go, you know, when he says his former way of life, it's former. It's done and it's dealt with. So his former manner of life was to persecute the church. So you look at the original language, a former was once of the past. So it's something that's in the past. It's once. It's not continual. It's changed. It's happened. It's in the past. It's over. The manner or the way of life is how he was dealing with others, which is conduct and behavior. Because we're going to look at this and kind of compare things and see how God flips it and what God's going to do in our lives. So how do we deal with others? You know, what is the manner that we're dealing with other people? How is our conduct and our behavior towards other people? Persecute, to harass, to trouble or molest, which molest is just to disturb or render uneasy. Okay, so he was taking these people, that was the church of God, and he was, through the conduct and his behavior, he was bringing trouble upon them. And just distorting and disturbing everything that they had to do with the Word of God. Okay? So, the former things in our life, they tend to persecute us also. That's what I want to look at and try to get through, is how do we gain an advantage over our former way of life? Because when I look at my life, and I've talked to so many people, and we know so many people, and you can see it on people, people are stuck in their past, and their past problems, and their past situations. That's the hurdle they can't get over. How do I overcome that? Well, we have to realize that they persecute us, that that's persecution against ourselves that we're doing by being dwelling and living in our past, our former life. It hinders us from growth. It consumes us for our thoughts, our actions, the things, the person, the people that we turn into. Pretty soon, whatever that thought is, whatever it may be in us, is just consuming. And we all know that. When we get stuck on something, it consumes us. It's what we can stay busy doing things, but every minute we're not busy, we're consumed by with whatever that evil, wicked thing we did, or a thing that happened to us, or whatever it is that persecutes us, it's stuck. And it just consumes us. So, the fact is that things get destroyed and are affected from our former life. That's a fact we got to live with. Okay, that's why God leaves us so many things in Scripture. It's not a do this because I'm a mean, evil God and I don't want to keep you from having fun. So often that's how we interpret the Bible. Well, God, you just don't want me to have fun in my life. You just don't want me to enjoy things. Well, God is far greater than that. It's for the joy and the abundant life that He gives us. Life, but that's what He gives us, rules, if you will, and laws to follow, because He knows the harm that will come with them when we disobey those rules and those laws. Then we're bringing all of this trouble on ourselves. So that's what He's trying to tell us in all throughout Scripture, is I'm giving you a guide. I'm giving you a purpose, a way to follow, so you can save yourself from all that harm. Because I know what your former way of life, or those problems that you do, I know how they will hinder your future. I know the challenges that will be produced because of the things that you've done. That's a fact. We all know it. It's a fact. We have those things in our mind. We just can't let go of them. And it hinders us from doing what we need to be doing. It hinders us from who Jesus created us to be, because we're stuck in those former ways of life. So we look at Paul. He did not let his past affect his ministry. Satan uses our past and our memories to sabotage our future. Okay? The enemy will always use the former things against you. Always. God doesn't bring those things back up. The enemy will always use those to sabotage you, because he knows that's what's going to bring you down. He knows that's what's going to take your focus. He knows that's what's going to take your attention. Because either you're going to have attention to continue to hide those things, or you're going to have an attention to figure out how I can look different from those things. I'm going to focus my attention on how I can escape that thing, whatever it may be. The enemy is going to take that and use that to sabotage your future and your time and your talents and your treasure, trying to fix that problem of the former thing of your life. So, the word former, when it's once in the past, so we need to look at the things. When we're looking at whatever these former things in our life are, they need to stay former. Okay, that's the word former. That was once and it was in the past. It doesn't need to continually happen, but that's what the enemy will do. The enemy will continue to keep bringing that up in your life to say you can't escape that, you can't get away from that, you can't run from it, you need to do whatever it is. So what is it that you have to do? You have to address it before God, because that's your identity. You're made new in the image of Christ, and you're being renewed to His image every day that you live, every day that you study this, every day that you know who He is and you continue to walk in His power and His purpose and His principles, His values and His standards. You're going to be renewed into His image. That image has nothing to do with sin or the former way of our lives. It has nothing to do with it. So we look at it then and we're like, okay, we've been there. There's things I've addressed. There's things, you know, that we've overcome, hurdles that we've done. But yet there are still things in our life that need to become former. We all have them. There's things in our life that we need to look at. We need to see them when we look at ourselves in the mirror, when we examine our hearts, and we say, that needs to become a former thing in my life, because it is hindering me from my growth and my likeness of Jesus, me growing into my likeness of Jesus. It's hindering me from that. We can all, that's why we talked about Thursday night, that God, when we finished up Book of Job, that God asked questions. And so often we don't like God to ask questions because it reveals the truth of our heart. If God asks me a question, I'm going to have to look at that and say, okay, how am I going to answer that? That's going to expose whatever it is in my heart. And a lot of times it's something that we don't like. So we need to be able to look at it, and we need to examine our hearts, and we say, okay, God, what is it that is standing in the way between me and you? And we're going to see why when we get into this, because what it hurts us, what it does to us. So we say, okay, how do we do that? Well, the Bible speaks a lot, like in the book of Colossians, of circumcision. It's to cut it out. Cut it out of our life. Circumcise. Okay, I want you to stay with me, though, with your mind, but go to worldly circumcision, the act of circumcision. Okay, we all know what that is. It hurts, right? That's why it's normally done on a child, because it's a painful process. And then once the child grows, they just don't remember the pain. They don't remember the process. It's done, it's over with, right? But look at that from our former, or our life, our issue that's in our life. If we say that's the same way that Paul uses this a lot through the New Testament, this word circumcision, he uses that towards our own life, towards the world, our own flesh, our own wants, our own desires. He says to circumcise them, cut them out, cut them, get rid of them, cut it off. It's gone, it's dead, it's no more. It's gone. But it's a painful process in our life today because we're grown adults. So we look at our problems, we look at the situations in our life, we look at those things that need to become former, and we're like, anytime I touch them or try to circumcise them out of my life, it hurts. Or if I do cut it off, it's a painful process when I go right back to it because I haven't allowed it to heal. It's a great analogy, circumcision is, because that's our flesh. That's the things in our life that we need to cut off, we need to walk away from, we need to make them former things, and we need to stay away from them and let them die and let them go away and start new. Let that healing process be there. But it takes time because our flesh wants us to go, well, that's my normal, that's my comfort zone, that's my thing. And then all it does is hurt us when we jump right back in there. So we need to be able to walk away, to cut these things away, and stay away from them. You can't bring the dead back. There's no sense in taking my old flesh, my old sin nature that I have, taking it off, and then going back to it and giving him CPR to recreate him to go back and do the bad things that's in me. That's stupid. But that's what we do. We get the AED off the wall and say, let's shock me back to life because I miss you. I miss that comfort. I miss that sin. I miss that lifestyle. I miss whatever that is. And then we bring it back to life. And then all it does is produce more harm to more people, including ourselves, to the church, to the body of Christ, to our families, to everybody in a sense. So we need to be able to, if we want to make something former in our life, we've got to be able to cut it out. And it's, you got to walk into it knowing that this is going to hurt. If I'm, what I am now is 38 years old, and if somebody would tell me I have to go get circumcision right now, I would crap my pants. Because you know it's going to hurt. You know it's going to be painful. But that's how we need to address these problems in our life. We need to look at them and say, this may hurt. This may become a problem. This is not going to be fun. But the end result's going to be worth it. And that's how we need to address those things that we're thinking of, that whatever it needs to be that's former in our life, that we need to be able to walk away from, we need to attack them with that attitude. So Paul says in here, we're going to look at traditions a little bit. Traditions of this world are many things that need to become former. Because that's what was drawn Paul away, was the traditions of his lifestyle, the traditions of his world at that time. So we look at so many things in our lives are traditions. So we can say, well, you don't understand, that's the way my family's done it, that's the way I was raised, that's the way I was taught, that was my upbringing, whatever it may be. But we know so many traditions are of this world, and this world is far different from the things of God. So we know that, right? But what does Paul do with these? One thing that you need to look at in verse 16 is that he says, to reveal his son to me and so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. So in this process of this change through Paul, this circumcision of his former way of life, do you notice what he did? He didn't go run to the world and get advice on how to do it. Hey, I just got circumcised. How do I heal? Or what am I supposed to do? What am I, you know, how do I fix this? What am I supposed to do now? He didn't go get all the worldly ideas. He didn't get all the wisdom from the world. He went and he hid. He went away from all the people. So that way he could consult with God. Because that's our mistake. Is that when we say, I can't get over this. Why do I keep tripping over my old sin nature? And then I just say, I'm tired of tripping on you, so I'm just going to put you back on. Why do we do that? Well, because the world tells me I got to feel this way. I got to have this to, act right. I got to be this type of person. I got to have this type of thing. I got to have this type of job. I got to have this type of bank account to be able to be okay in the world. Have my security from this world. That's what the world tells me. So then, well, I just can't do it. So I put this back on to be able to accomplish all that stuff. Because we listen to the world to be able to change for the better. Well, whose world are we listening to? What did Paul do? He went and meditated with God. And we don't mean meditated like whoever sitting on a hill Indian style like this. He prayed. He spent time with God. I'm sure he read. I'm sure he, after having that Damascus Road meeting of Jesus, I'm sure some of the scripture made a little more sense to him because Jesus revealed himself to him. So I'm sure he read. And he allowed God to speak to him. Because when we're away from the world and we're meditating with God, it's quiet. How noisy is your life? Super noisy, right? It's chaos. It's noise. It's confusion. Let's do this, do this. Let's see how hard we can run to keep busy. Let's see how many sports we can put our kids in to stay busy. Let's see how we can do this, how many vacations we can go on. Let's see how many clubs we can sign up for. Let's see this so we can be busy, 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 busy. So the noise of the world cancels out reality. And God's standing there doing what? Can you hear me? Do you remember how he revealed himself? That it wasn't during the storm. It wasn't during the thunder, the lightning, the rain, the wind. It came when he was quiet. All of that was quiet. And God spoke. That's what he does to us. But the enemy will use noise in our life, the noise of life, to drown out the quietness of God. So it's up to us to be able to say, I have to make a change. I have to make a choice in my life to be able to drown out the world so I can hear God speak to me. But the world's going to keep me too busy. You don't understand. I got to make a life. I got to make a living. I got to support my family. I got to do this. Yeah, it's called do hard things. Make a choice. To examine yourself, the hardest thing you have to do is examine yourself and find something that needs to become former. That's going to be the number one hardest thing. Because we don't like to look inside of ourselves and see what's ugly. But we need to. Then we need to say, okay, God, where can you lead me out of this issue, problem, lifestyle to this new creation that I am? Where can you pull me out of this? Where can you meet me? Where can you reveal yourself to me? And number one, the greatest example we always use is it doesn't matter where we are. When I say, where are you going to meet me, God? God's going to meet you right where you're at. Don't ever think that you have to change, because remember, that's what the world tells you. You've got to be this, this, or that first before you can do this. God's not that way. God will meet you where you're at. But God, I got to get cleaned up first. No. Just as he washed Peter's feet. He washed his feet. Why did he wash his feet? Because he was dirty. He met Peter where he was at. He cleansed him in his flesh, his sinful nature. He didn't wait for Peter to go wash his feet and said, I'll get round two. You get the first layer off and then I'll finish you up. He went right at it and cleaned him up in his sinful lifestyle. What a beautiful picture. So for us to say, well, just wait, I've got to do this. We all know how that is. Once we accomplish one thing, two more things grew already that we got to get done before we can address whatever it is we started with. So we need to be, Jesus, meet me where I'm at. Allow me to identify this thing that needs to become former. Let me identify it. Bring it on me. And then let's deal with it. Sometimes prayer is that way. That when we're praying, we go this way, we go that way, we go that direction. You suppose we're speaking with God and God's revealing to us the areas that need addressed with certain things in our life? We're talking to God and God's revealing to us what needs addressed. So instead of running from those things, clean them up right then and there. Address them. God, work with me in that. If my mind's running scatterbrained to that all the time, every time I sit down and pray, or every night when I land on my bed and I'm praying at night, but my mind's always going there, that same exact thing, guess what? It's quiet. God's speaking to you. He's telling you to clean it up. He's telling you to work with it, to deal with it. So bring him into that and say, all right, God, you've identified it with me. Let's deal with it now. And the thing is, we all know what the blood of the cross did, that Jesus shed on that cross. It dealt with it. It's already been dealt with. God just wants you to identify it with him and say, okay, God, I know that you dealt it. I know that you were sufficient enough to deal with this problem, this issue. Take it over. Take it away. So, are we meditating on the things of God or having the worldly people influence dictate our life and choices? We both know, meaning me and God, you and God, me and God, know what needs to become former in our lives. God called us out of this world into another world. John chapter 15, verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is where we're supposed to be. He's called us out. We're not meant to be part of this world. That's why it's hard. That's why we have issues. Is because we say, this is so different from the world, and it's so hard to live this way. It's so hard to try to act this way. It's people, when I speak the name of Jesus, or they just get weird and they walk away or they change the subject. Why is that? Because it's not, we're not of this world. This is not our final resting place. This is not where we are meant to inherit. This is our battle zone, is what the world is. My mind goes to the analogy of, I don't remember if it was yesterday at men's class or Thursday night at Bible class, we were talking about this, but my analogy goes to the Special Forces Division of the military. That's what all of us are. You are placed behind enemy lines. You say, well, where is that? That's this entire world. That's the home you live in. That's the schools we partake in, that's the communities we live in, that's the state we're in, that's the nation we're in, that's the world that we live in. This world, what all falls underneath the umbrella of the world? Everything that's in it. That is our battleground. So we have to say, am I willing to fight? Do I understand that I'm in the midst of a spiritual battle? Because that's what it is. The momentary light afflictions is life. That's all of life. There's not just one certain thing here and one certain thing. Yeah, some are better than worse, and some are bad, and some are good, and but momentary light afflictions is your life on this earth. Because it's momentary in light of eternity. But you're here participating in a battle that's waging for people's souls between good and evil. That's what we're partaking in. And if we can wake up in the morning and we know that when I step out my door, or when I get out of my bed, if my problem's within my household, whatever it may be, I need to realize the fact that I'm participating in the midst of a battle. And I am in that battle all day long while I'm here on earth. And how am I going to handle it? How am I going to see things? Am I looking for the enemy so I don't get stuck in their snares? Or am I walking around like I'm not in the midst of a battle, and then I get caught off guard and I go, I don't even know how that happened. Because we weren't paying attention. What needs to become former in our life, either today, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, whatever it is, the world will not reveal it to you. Okay? The enemy is a master strategist who has been studying the warfare on this planet for years and years and years. And he will do anything in his power to keep you from seeing what it is in you that needs to be changed. He'll keep you preoccupied. He'll keep you confused. He'll keep you happy, comfortable, to be able to keep you divided from a true, real relationship with Jesus Christ. That's his goal. And we can say, yeah, but it's just the devil. I can conquer that. He's seen a lot of things for a lot of years. He can affect us physically. He can affect us emotionally. He can affect us spiritually. He can affect us mentally. All of those things, far greater than our comprehension can go. And we're no match for him. Not at all. Unless we walk in the power of Jesus Christ. Because he is the only one that through that power we're going to be able to conquer the enemy. If we walk through this life unaware of the fact that we're in the midst of this battle and that the enemy is seeking after us like a roaring lion to see who he can devour, that's you and I. When Jesus told Peter that Satan asked to sift him like wheat, the original usage of that is you all, not just Peter. All of us go along with that. So you have an enemy that's wanting to completely devour you anyway, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually possible, to sift you like wheat. He's going to do it. And it's going to look different because he knows you. Because he's seen you. He's seen everybody just like us for the last thousands and thousands of years. So we have no choice, if we wish to succeed, to be able to call on God. That is what we have to do. God, reveal yourself to me. God, show yourself to me so I can get rid of whatever this former thing in my life is that's allowing me to not walk as a new creation in the image of your Son. That's the whole issue with this former thing. That's the whole issue that Satan wants to do with these things and these thoughts and this mindset in you. He's going to control you to keep you divided from God because he says, I can't have a relationship with God, therefore you're not going to have a relationship with God. I ruined my life. I ruined my eternity. I'm going to ruin yours. Okay. So we say this, these former things of life. Paul uses the word traditions. We look at Paul, back to square one. We look at Paul, and he's speaking of the traditions that were part of this former way of life. For you have heard, in verse 13, you have heard of my former way of life. Just as they had heard of Paul's life, people hear of ours. People know of ours. But there again, what's the enemy going to tell you to do? That's your identity. That's who you are. That is where you belong. That's where you're going to stay. Paul didn't. Paul didn't stay a persecutor of the church, didn't he? He went and pulled people out of darkness instead of sending people to darkness. It's no different than us. Because he realized the power that he had to be able to conquer the enemy with Jesus. That is what we can do. Our former things of life, whatever it is that we've heard of, because we all hear things. People hear things about me. People hear things about you. That's life. That's the rumors and all the gossip and all the stuff of life that does what? Affects us mentally and says, well, then and it paints a picture and tells us lies, and pretty soon we believe the lies of who we are, or whatever it is that they're talking about. But we have to think, what are we going to pass along as traditions? Because it's up to you and I to be able to change traditions if we don't like them. What are we going to pass along? Because Paul was just living by his traditions. He was living the things that he was taught that were passed down to him. We're going to pass things along, things that are valuable or things that will be harmful and need to be broken away and turned to former. If we don't address these things that are going to, that need to be former in our life, guess what? We're going to pass them down and people are going to see that that's normal or think that that's normal. Well, that's the way mom and dad did it, so it must be normal. Mom and dad didn't think that was a problem, so it must be normal in my life. Pretty soon, what does that moral decay to humanity look like? You say, well, how did we get as evil and gross as we were? Well, we always were. There's a reason God destroyed the cities like Sodom and Gomorrah. Why he had to have a flood on the entire world, because it was grotesque and immoral. But it continues to grow. So instead of passing those things down, those traditions to people about our standards and principles and values from the world's perspectives, we have an opportunity to pass along the standards, the morals, the standards and the principles of God as traditions. So what are we handing down? Am I handing anything of value down to help future generations? I mean, we deal with kids all week. We got almost, 38 some in here the other night, on Thursday night, and we got 60 some at the high school. So we're dealing with 100 kids a week. What are we passing down to these kids? What are you passing down to your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, whatever it may be? Traditions are important. The original language for the usage of traditions that Paul's using here is a giving over which is done by word of mouth or in a writing. Precepts received that are handed down orally or by books. So that's what Paul's doing. He was taking things that he was given and he's pushing these standards and these traditions upon people. That's the opportunity that you and I have to do also. We will make traditions in our life for our kids. Look at how you are with your mom and dad, the things you remember. Our kids are looking at us the same way. What is it that we're instilling in them for values, principles, and their morals? Are we taking things? Do they see you speak the word of God? Do they see you act the things of Jesus? Do they see you read the books that were left to be able to build these traditions on? The things that come after our former way of life are things we should pass down. We shouldn't pass the things that need to become former. We need to be able to pass upon the things that are after we've marked off those former things. These are the things that God has set us apart for. Paul says that he was set apart in verse 15. But when God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased. Set apart, original language. This is a foundational truth of a word that you need to make sure you hold on to. To mark off by boundaries for some purpose. Do you realize that God set you apart in this world? Remember we just kind of described what the enemy can do to us? But who set us apart? Who puts boundaries and limitations on us? God does. He set us apart. He placed boundaries for some purpose. Boundaries of saying, we all know the book of Job. Well, what about my servant Job, God says. Satan had to ask permission before he can do anything. He has to ask permission. He doesn't get to run around freely doing that. He has to go through God first. God allows and sets boundaries. That's why people's lives look so different. Struggles in people's lives, issues with people's lives, sin styles in their lives, everything looks so different in their lives. But this, to mark off by boundaries for some purpose, and God has done this since the beginning of time. What's the beginning of time in your life? When you were in your mother's womb. That's the beginning of time. God called. Paul says that he called me through his grace. Original usage, to summon by appointing or committing an office to one. A call is an invitation that you must answer. That's what a call is. If you're called to go do that, or you're summoned to go do that, do you have a choice? Sure you do. It's an invitation. You don't have to do it. Well, what is this call, this invitation that we're handed? It's to accept Jesus on our behalf. That's the choice that you and I have. That's the invitation that is being handed to us, is to be able to accept that. If we accept that invitation, we have accepted the call of God in our life because we accepted the invitation. That means then that setting apart from the beginning of our time means that you take that invitation, God's got you set apart for some purpose in your life. You have some reason since the beginning of time, since the beginning of being in your mother's womb, that there's your thing for abortion, since in your mother's womb, you have been set apart. I mean, God had a plan. God had a purpose. God has a need for you since the beginning of your time. To do what? What is the office of appointing he placed you in? To reveal. But when God, who set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal. Reveal, the original language, is to disclose or to make known what before was unknown. So now we have this invitation we accepted, that we knew God set us apart from the beginning of time, and he has something for us, some purpose for us. Now we have to make known something that was unknown. Well, who is that? The usage here, obviously it shows us, to reveal his son in me. The usage of that word, reveal, is in relation to who, what, and how great Jesus is. That's your job. That is what God has called you to do. Who is Jesus? What he is and what he can do. How he is and how he can do what he does. That's your calling. That is what God has set you apart from the time you were in your mother's womb to do, was to reflect Jesus to other people. Well, how does that look? I don't know. Everybody's life is different. He called you separately. I wasn't in your mom's womb with you. He called you differently than he called me. But he called you for a distinct purpose, an individual purpose. That's the value that God sees on you. God can see in you, since you were born and you were conceived in your mother's womb, that God goes, I know I have something for you. Uniquely, individually. I love you enough. I give you, I appoint you or bring you to this for your own purpose, to show my love to the world. And I trust you enough to place this responsibility on you. If somebody's called or committed to an office, aren't they worthy of doing it? That's why somebody is calling them out to do something. Look at that on you. What has God called you to do? Look at what that shows of how he thinks of you. You think you're not worthy? You think you're incompetent? You think it doesn't matter? You think you're just a waste of space or a waste of breath, fresh air? God sees differently. God sees you as created for a purpose. That's the predestination. That you are predestined for something. That could go two different ways, whether you take that invitation or not. You take that invitation, all of this stuff you were predestined to do goes away, and all of this stuff comes alive. Predestination is not somebody that gets elected better. You're predestined to an eternity, because there's teachings. You are predestined to an eternity with God by choice. Hallie, you get to go. Matt, you don't get to go. Well, as far as everything in the scripture tells me, that Jesus came for the entire sins of the entire world, that his sins, that the blood that he shed on the cross took care of the sins of the entire world, not just a select few amount of people. So they'll use the word predestination and say, we have to be better than you because I'm elected. Have you ever heard of anybody that wasn't elected trying to give that gospel message? It ain't out there because it ain't true. So predestination is what God is doing here when he set us apart. So we were set apart from the beginning of our time to reflect and show the Son to the world around us. We are in the office of revealing His Son to the world. God predestined you to enter into a union with Him to accomplish a particular work designed by Him, especially for you. And the Bible tells you that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God predestined your eternity to have an eternal life with Him, sharing in an eternal inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will never fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We know it. It says it. So what is God doing with me? Or wanting to do with me? What is He wanting to do with you? Or needing to do with you? He's wanting to reveal His Son through you. That's why you're in the midst of this battle. That's why you're in the midst of evil and oppression and darkness, is because God wants you to be the light. God wants you to show His Son to people who are stumbling around in this darkness, that need to be able to identify they have something in their life that needs to become former, just as you do. So it takes us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus to be able to show His light to a darkness in this world. Father, we thank You that You've given us answers. We thank You that You do not leave us when we walk amongst this battlefield, that we know that You've been there before us. You're right beside us. You're right with us as we trudge through the darkness. We pray that You allow us to be confident that we can not be stuck upon our past shameful things or our guilt, whatever it is that the enemy wants us to divide us, or to divide us with that peace that You can bring us, that we may not get stuck on that as our identity, to just be fearful. To live in fear is what that does, because we don't know what people think of us or what they will say or how they can look at us or whatever it may be. It's a trap of fear. So allow us just to move forward like Paul did, to make those things former. That shame, that guilt, that deceit, whatever it may be, just put it away. Make it former in our life. Allow us to walk new in Your image, reflecting Your Son, because we cannot do what it is that You need us to do if we're stuck in our own sinful lifestyle of shame, guilt, whatever that may be. Allow us just to walk free and proclaim Your name. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.